Hello and welcome back to Donor Diaries. This is your host, Lori Lee. I have a super interesting guest today who has taught me a lot about something I've never heard of, and that is a disease called Nutcracker Syndrome. Meet LJ Dong, also known as LJ the Medium. LJ is a fascinating human who embodies resilience, determination, and positivity.
Thank you so much for being my guest today, LJ. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to talk to you again, and I'm just grateful to be here. So thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you taught me something I didn't know about kidneys in our pre-call, and I'm really excited to share it with our audience today. To get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I always like to say I'm a little bit of everything wrapped in a small package. I am a psychic medium. I am a motivational speaker. I'm an author. I'm a living kidney donor. Probably the best title to say is I'm an entrepreneur. And today we connected because of organ donation, and I'm an advocate. And I go out and raise awareness because I was diagnosed with a rare disease in 2017 and ended up donating my kidney. So everything that I've been through, which actually started in 2013 due to a spine injury, spiraled into surgeries, led me to paying it forward and donating my kidney. So I wouldn't be who I am today had I not gone through all the pain and trauma that I'd been through in my past.
That's incredible. But I have to point out, you missed a very important title when you were describing who you are.
Uh-oh. What did I forget?
You have a very specific title in New York.
I am the American Miss National Misses. I was representing Mrs. New York, and I actually won the title in Maine this past November, and I'm holding the title this year.
Congratulations. And that gives you a really unique platform to be able to discuss things with the public, such as organ donation.
Yes. Thank you so much for the reminder, because it's still a shock to me that I participated and I won. Not only did I win the national title, I won the health and wellness category, spokes model category, and I also tied for interview out of all the girls that competed in the entire pageant system. What was pretty amazing about that is that my platform is organ donation. So I got to share that in my interview, and I got to share that in my spokes model speech as well. And what's nice about the title that I have, such as being a medium or being a speaker, I get to go out there and share about organ donation, because a lot of people don't know so much about it. And I'm grateful that everything kind of ties in together, because I had a completely different life 10 years ago.
And I have to tell you, one of the things I really like about you is that you don't lead with that title, and you also never seem to lead with what's gone wrong. And it sounds like you've had some major ups and downs with your health, and that kind of seems to just be your motivation to help people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was in 2013. I was actually working in the operating room until I became a professional patient, and I had a spine injury. In a nutshell, I had broken my back. I was just married, just came back from my honeymoon, and my life completely changed. I was unable to walk and needed to undergo multiple surgeries. And I was probably in a wheelchair for about 2 years. And during that time, I used to pray and say, you know, if I can walk again, if I can get better, I will find a way to pay it forward. And that was like my, I guess you could call it bargaining. And I kept just saying that, I'm like, I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to get better, and I'm going to pay it forward. And I'm a very ambitious person, and I have very supportive parents, thankfully. So there was no, you're going to just stay in bed today, even if you could get up. I had a lot of that. And after years of rehabilitation and going through all that, and I even just had my fourth spine surgery last year. But in the process, I kept at that. And one day, I was diagnosed with Nutcracker Syndrome, and we'll get to that, but I had the chance to save a life and donate my kidney. So I said, oh, this is how I'm going to pay it forward. So I didn't know how I would pay it forward or how my life would unfold, but even as a psychic, right? Everyone's like, you didn't know that? No. Sometimes when it's too personal, you can't tell, but I didn't know how the future was going to play out. And if you told me I was going to donate my kidney, I would have been like, yeah, right. And honestly, it was a blessing in disguise.
How did you break your back?
I was at work, and I also had found out I have some other issues going on, which makes your connective tissue and your joints and your bones very fragile. So something that somebody else might be doing might not be in the same situation and get hurt as me. But because of everything underlying that I had, the lifting that I did, I fractured and broke my back in an instant.
And you said that you used to work in an OR. What did you do in the OR?
Yeah, so I was a surgical assistant. So I used to work the overnight. So I used to work in the trauma department, trauma OR. So everything you saw on the news, what was coming in on the graveyard shift. So I was right up in all of it. And I think that's kind of the crazy part. So I remember being and standing and helping the surgeon in spine surgeries. And I used to watch that. And it's like, oh, like I couldn't, my stomach couldn't handle it, even though I had to be right. You're assigned to a case. You have to go do it. So when I went into the OR for spine surgeries, it just, I don't know if my soul knew, but I had like a weird feeling. And I'm like, like these are one of the hardest surgeries to watch. So I never would have imagined that I'd be on the OR table four times for spine surgery.
And you said maybe that was something that you sensed. And you also mentioned you were a medium. So I have to share this with you because, first of all, I totally believe in mediums and psychics, and I've known some good ones. You totally blew me away the first time that we spoke. I asked you, I was like, is there anyone here with me? And you said, your pawpaw or your pop-pop is here. Do you remember saying that?
Yes.
And that's the person who's died in my life, who I was closest to, and who, the fact that you nailed pop-pop, and then you said that his Toto dog was with him. And I didn't tell you this in our last call, but he always had a miniature schnauzer. And one would die, he'd wait a year, he'd get another one, and he had miniature schnauzers his whole life. So the fact that he is somewhere else, maybe standing behind me again right now with his mini schnauzers, makes me so happy. And then the other thing you said that was crazy was you kept talking about a specific name and it didn't resonate. And I understand that when you talk to a medium, sometimes those things resonate later. But what was crazy is that the person who you were describing who had a heart attack had passed 2 days earlier and I didn't know yet.
Wow, I have goosebumps when you message me that. And I'm used to it. Sometimes I do readings and it might not register in the moment. And I always call that psychic amnesia because we're trying to think of the people that were closest to us, or we're trying to think of the person that we want to come through that we're not like aware of it. And then all of a sudden we find out. I always tell people, keep it in your back pocket because it could be days to months where I get validations. So when I have goosebumps right now because that blew me away and I was just grateful for the validation that you shared that with me. I was so sorry to hear of the loss and that you didn't, you know, you hadn't known yet. But it's amazing who does come through and when they come through. And just like your grandfather and I think your grandmother. And it was interesting that morning, I don't remember what I had the night before. So that morning I was exhausted. I had just like rolled out of bed to get on the call with you. So it wasn't like I was on yet, but that just goes to show when we're ready and we're like, who's around us, right? And I just met you for the first time. Who's around us that our loved ones are there? And especially that gentleman that had come through who had passed recently. And I think it was so interesting, especially him being an organ donor as well, and coming in to our call talking about organ donation. So I believe in synchronicities. And it's amazing, like, just to give you a small example, I do a celebration of life event every year to celebrate my kidneyversary. So every year I get together, do a fundraiser, just a whole load of fun, have speakers, recipients, donors come speak. And during my last celebration of life fundraiser, I also like to do readings at the end, right? So people come here about organ donation and I give the gift of spirit. And spirit was like coming through and giving me details or evidence in raising awareness. So like one loved one came through and they had passed from suicide. And the person that was coming through for had just started like a mental health awareness. And we were also raising awareness for mental health that night. So it's just amazing, like, why those people that night, right? It was who needs to come through and when, and what better way to go, hey, I'm going to go show LJ or going to go through to LJ to get to my loved one to say, I see you raising awareness for me. I see everything that you're doing. And also the celebrations that come from that person's passing and that they're still not missing anything, even from the other side. So I thought that was amazing. And that kind of happened with us, that someone else who was an organ donor who had passed away, which you hadn't realized at that moment of our call, to realize and acknowledge you and who you were to that person, the work that you're doing and the gift that he left behind and the gift that you're doing by sharing people's stories. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I have goosebumps all over again. And it was weird too, because, you know, it didn't resonate. I found out he died and it wasn't till like three nights later, I was falling asleep and I was like, this is who was with me. This is what LJ said. And it just took a minute to sink in. And then when it did, I couldn't fall asleep. And Then I was like, I wish I would have asked her more.
Oh, well, we could always connect again. Happy to.
And that's a different podcast. But yes, I would love to connect again in the spirit realm.
Yeah, you're loved. There was a lot of people, and I'm glad that it did come to you a couple days after, because it's nice to know who's around. And I always say to people, sometimes it's the person like you least expect, or you're not even, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just amazing.
Well, thank you for sharing your gift with me. It was really special to be the recipient of that.
Of course. Thank you for allowing me to.
So let's back up. You were saying in a nutshell, and that kind of alludes to what you're talking about with kidney disease. Tell us a little bit about the kidney disease that you had.
So it was called nutcracker syndrome, and it's when your left renal vein is compressed between your aorta and your superior mesenteric artery. And the best way I describe it when people are asking me, because we can get lost with medical terms, it's like imagine a garden hose outside and you're trying to run the water and then you step on it and there's that kink. So the water's not really coming out so good. So imagine that's the vein and the blood's trying to pass through. So it wasn't able to get to my kidney. Eventually, my kidney would have died. I had tried a major surgery, which was like it was called the left renal vein transposition. I was like, my whole abdomen was cut. It was a major, major surgery. Unfortunately, that surgery failed. And the doctor had said to me, you know, one of my options was to redo the surgery, which I was not confident in after it failed by my first post-op appointment, or two, that I could have a nephrectomy, but it wasn't something that he would do. So I said, okay, can I donate? And he thought it was drastic, this particular doctor, like, why are you going to donate? I said, well, what are you going to do with it? You know, it just, if you're just removing it, is the kidney still healthy? And that's what's unique about nutcracker syndrome, is that more often than not, if it's caught, your kidney is still healthy, your vein is not. So what I did was I tried to reach out to some organizations just to find out more about kidney transplants and how to donate a kidney, if that was the case, if that was the route that I could go. And one hospital had turned me down when I called. I think they were just like, it's so rare. I was trying to do a little bit of research, and I did want to just share this real quick just to show you just how rare. I was going through a bunch of articles like the National Institute of Health, and it says renal nutcracker syndrome is especially rare. It's about 0.8% and difficult to diagnose. It's so rare, in fact, that the diagnostic criteria were not established until 2017. Even though the syndrome is rare, there is a high morbidity associated with it, with complications including renal vein thrombosis and renal failure. So it just goes to show that we're in 2024, and I was already diagnosed in 2017, having my kidney donated in 2018. So there's not a lot of statistics yet, because some people might not have symptoms until it gets really bad. I wanted to share, there's about 7,000 people in my support group all over the world. So I went to the first hospital, like I said, they denied me. And the second hospital I went to was open to the idea of taking a nutcracker kidney and donating it to somebody else. They went back 20 years of like records and could not find anyone else with nutcracker syndrome that donated it. So I said to him, well, what else can I do? So it was either go in the garbage, like just take it out. Obviously the goal would be like, let's just get it out and get LJ feeling better. But I just couldn't let that go. So he met with the board. I did a lot of convincing. I said, let's give it a shot, because the worst that can happen is you end up not keeping it. I got the go ahead. I went through all the living donor tests. And then that morning of the surgery, my doctor's like, I'm not going to guarantee anything. And I just said to him, this is happening. I don't care. That's pretty much what it was. It's happening. We're doing it. I couldn't see another way. It was just, I just saw it all unfold beautifully. I woke up from surgery, and the first thing I had asked was, how is my recipient doing? And they're like, how are you doing? I'm like, no, how's my recipient doing? And she got my kidney. We just hit 5 years of her having Lefty. We call it Lefty. I even have it tattooed on my arm, Lefty, with my kidney date. It was interesting. And from there, it kind of led to advocating. And I'm like, I got to tell more people about this option, that you don't have to go through a left renal vein transposition. You don't have to lose a kidney. Maybe you could donate a kidney. So I try and get involved as much as possible to share more about nutcracker syndrome, because you had not heard of it either. Since sharing my story, dozens have donated their kidney. So I lost track of how many, because I'm going back 5 years now. So I am waiting. I'm trying to update that in the support group, because now it's 7,000 people. I think when I joined the support group, maybe it was 1,000 people. So yeah, I can't wait to see. I'm waiting for a response. I'm just trying to do like a little, what do they call it? Like a survey. If you've donated since I donated, let me know. I used to keep a tally, and then that's how busy it got. So I'm just grateful that sharing my story or someone listening to this podcast know or hear of somebody with Nutcracker Syndrome and knowing that there is treatment and options out there.
You have experience in the medical field. Do you feel like maybe that was why you asked that question?
Yeah, because I think I can't wrap my head around something being healthy and tossing it. It's like, okay, you have fresh food in the fridge. Why are you going to throw it out? To me, it's like, do something with it. If you're not going to eat it, maybe you give it to a neighbor or someone comes over and you're like, here, I have leftovers. Take this. I don't know if it had to do with being in the medical field. I just couldn't understand it. And I just couldn't let something good go to waste.
So are Nutcracker kidneys oftentimes damaged, or is this the case for most people with Nutcracker Syndrome, that they have a healthy kidney that can be transplanted into somebody else?
From what I've witnessed so far, you know, through the journey, is that most of the time the kidneys are healthy enough to donate. The issue is that there's not enough awareness for a doctor to know that they can do that. Or patients with Nutcracker Syndrome, like myself, I didn't know I could do that. So I don't think there's enough education about treatment. And now that I don't have the kidney anymore, I'm actually nutcracker free. So I could cross that illness, or I could cross that disease off of my list. That's something. There's no more kidney vein. There's no more kidney. There's no more Nutcracker Syndrome. There's nothing being compressed. So technically it's a cure. We could change medical history. I just think doctors need to learn more and say, hey, you know, we could take this out. Back to your question, could it be damaged? Yes, that was one of the warnings that I had, because I had already had surgery. It could have come out with scar tissue. If it was scarred or anything was wrong with it, then they wouldn't have been able to transplant it into somebody else. And that wasn't the case. Other options that people have, it's called an auto transplant. I wasn't a candidate for that. It's where you take your own kidney and they put it in your pelvis. Again, oftentimes than not that I've seen in those cases, just from what I've read and learned. So not a doctor, not, or, you know, don't know any of that information, but from people that have shared their story is that usually if you're taking the kidney out, there is a possibility that you can't put it into your pelvis. And now that kidney is no longer yours anyway, and you cannot donate it at that point. But let's just say they took it out and it was good and it was healthy and there was no scar tissue. That can now be passed on.
And this only affects the left kidney?
From what I've seen, yes.
Okay. So that would mean that this isn't necessarily a viable option for everybody. But if they have a healthy kidney and they're not in danger of their right kidney failing, that this would be an option for somebody with Nutcracker.
Absolutely. So that was the number one thing, is going through living donor tests. They're not just going to take your kidney out. They do the living donor test. They're very thorough to make sure that you're safe. So yes, they want to make sure that your right kidney is functioning strong and healthy, that you can live with just that one kidney. So that's the beauty of it, is that they do make sure that you're okay and you're safe before you go on to donate a kidney. So I was lucky to do that and to share that, because I think if more people know about it, I think it's nice to know that there's options, because I may have just gone straight for donation rather than go through a chance of maybe getting better by doing that other major surgery.
So I assume that you were seeing a nephrologist when you were diagnosed with Nutcracker Syndrome, right?
Yeah, a neurologist.
What did you have to do to get those doctors to start considering transplant as an option?
So first I called the National Kidney Foundation, because I didn't know where to start. So I asked them, where's the nearest transplant hospital? So once I did meet with New York Presbyterian, which is where I proceeded to donate, and I asked, they pretty much told me that they would need to meet with the team and see that this would be okay, because they always have to make sure that you're safe and your well-being. They understand. They're like, it's amazing that you want to donate, but we have to make sure that you're going to be okay also. So from there, I just went directly into living donor tests. And I want to say within 4 weeks, I had my kidney out. It was so fast because I was suffering so badly. They wanted to help me get it done as soon as possible. So once the living donor test came back with a green light, like, I got a date immediately. So I donated April 5th, 2018.
And tell us a little bit about your kidney donation.
Ended up donating. I went into the hospital that morning, like I mentioned, saw the doctor, came out. I got to see a picture of my kidney, which I always think is pretty cool. And from there, being in the hospital, I did have a couple of blood transfusions. I did have a little bit of a hard time in the beginning. I was transferred to another floor, but once I got blood, I was like a completely different person. So I felt much better. And I was asking to meet my kidney recipient, and she was asking to meet me. So the day that I was being discharged, my husband wheeled me down and we got to meet. And, you know, I went over to her. We were both really emotional. I just held her hand. And I don't know, I just have goosebumps. It was like, we recognized each other. This is the way it was supposed to happen. I was just so thankful that it happened the way it did. I'm a big believer that blessings can come out of difficult situations. So I wanted to pay it forward and something good. So I use this example and I share that something positive could come out of something negative.
So what advice do you have for anyone out there with Nutcracker who is considering kidney donation?
One would tell them to not lose hope. So I use the word hope a lot because I like the acronyms. It's to have only positive expectations and also hold on, pain ends. So I use those two acronyms just to tell people to have hope, to do your research. I say this in a light way, but don't jump into surgery right away. Meaning, find out what is the best option for you. Because what might be good for one person might not be good for someone else. Some people, I would say, get your list, get a couple of opinions, reach out to people in the support groups, talk to different transplant centers if you want to donate. Don't be discouraged if one transplant hospital turns you down. So I was turned down by one transplant hospital. So sometimes it might just be, hey, going to another hospital and team. And being fortunate enough that they understand the disease or willing to learn about it and see if they can help you. So that's what I would say is to have hope, do your research, do everything you can to stay as healthy and strong in the process, because sometimes it could be a quick process and sometimes not. And really connect with other people and to know that you're not alone. And there's Lori, there's me, there's podcasts, there's support groups. There's more now than I ever had in 2017. Really not much information existed. And I didn't know any donors at the time. So there's so many resources out there. So just have hope and don't feel discouraged that we're all here to help each other and stay connected, like Lori said.
I love your acronyms for hope. Did you make those up?
No, I've heard of them. So I can't take credit. I can't take credit for it. I've heard of them. And it just stuck with me and I use it.
I love both of them. They're beautiful.
Thank you.
So what's next for you, LJ?
Being open to what doors open. In June, I'll be cruising. I'm representing Mrs. Italy in the Universal Petite pageant. So I was born in Italy. So that's another part of who I am. So being, you know, Mrs. New York was amazing and I won. But I also want to be Mrs. Italy. So that's coming up in June. So I'm doing a lot of preparations for that and just kind of keeping up with my work and my clients and helping people the best I can. And the other big thing that's coming up is organ donation meetup in New York City in April as well. So those are my two big events. I do volunteer. I do a lot of things when I'm not, you know, working and writing. I'd ask people to follow me if they are an organ donor and they want to meet up with us in New York City. They created something now. It's like the Little Bean statue, like the Big Bean in Chicago. So something yep. Little Bean. I personally have not seen it yet. I know that there's a memorial service also that's going to be held at St. Patrick's Cathedral. We have a lot of fun things planned. So I'm co-organizing it and would love to see other donors, because next year we're going to try and break the Guinness World Records and see how many living donors we can get in New York City. So I know that's next year, but this is in preparation. But I would encourage people, it's spring. New York City is beautiful. There's a million things to do. We have a great itinerary, great food. So that's going to be coming up. April's around the corner. I can't believe it. So, and then off to represent Mrs. Italy and just see what happens in between. Because usually I always say this, I always plan something and then life goes in another direction or the universe goes, nah, we're going to do this instead. So I've just learned just to go with the flow, because I didn't know my way of paying it forward was organ donation. I didn't think my break in my spine was going to break me into the spirit world. I always just like to share, to just trust that everything's happening for a reason, that you're going where you're supposed to and you're meeting the people that you're meant to. And that's a big thing, is just trust. Because sometimes when we're going, I always say there's always a light in the darkness, because when we're going through a difficult time, it's very hard to see how am I going to get on the other side? How's this going to look like in a year from now? And we're not sure how things are going to turn out. So I've learned, and it's to just trust that, okay, if this is happening to me, something better is even going to happen to me. So I always look at things like, oh, I just went through this. I just went through another surgery. I can't wait to see the blessing that's going to come out of it. As hard as it is, there's so many days I wanted to give up, but I think that's very important.
That is truly inspirational. And I love your positivity.
Thank you.
Drawn to it.
Thank you. I'm glad.
Well, anything else you want to add before we end today?
If I could share my information, I'd love to if anyone wants to connect with me. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if anyone wants to connect, they could reach out. LJthemedium.com is my website. And I also wrote two books that they can find on Amazon. So I do talk about organ donation in both books, The Spirit of Hope, and then my new book that was released last year, Think Like a Medium, Act Like a Warrior. Yeah, I do share more about my journey there. I do have a documentary on YouTube, the LJ documentary, The Story of a Warrior Spirit. I hope that anyone that tunes in or connects with me, that you feel hope and inspiration. And if I could just leave you with my favorite quote, which is also tattooed on my body, the best is yet to come.
Thank you so much, LJ. It was truly a pleasure getting to talk to you again today.
Oh, I'm so happy, Lori. Thank you so much.
And keep up the great work.
You too. I appreciate it. Thank you.
If you're interested in learning more about LJ, you can check out her website, documentary, and other resources mentioned in the show notes. Additionally, there are links provided to the Nutcracker Support Group Facebook page and information about the Living Donor Meetup event happening in April at the Little Bean in New York. Lastly, there's an invitation to join an event aimed at breaking the Guinness World Record for the greatest number of living organ donors gathered in one place, which is scheduled to take place in April of 2025. The current record was set in 2016. That was an event that I co-organized with my friend Kate Griggs. Now, LJ and Kate are working on breaking that record. They need 411 donors to achieve this goal. I will be one of them, and I hope that you are too. Thanks so much for listening to Donor Diaries.